up again. Computer class, yeah, tell me your name. It's now the time. We grow with each other every day.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Real Mentors Podcast. The best in the business. I add it again. I'm a little under the weather. You may hear some coughing, so I apologize in advance, but I'm here sticking it out like a true professional. Use that word loosely. Of course, as always, I'm joined by my technical producer, which I keep forgetting to mention consistently.
Yeah, you don't need to. We do it together.
I know. We're doing a great job of it. It's always worth saying it. The man beast himself, the head of the girlslife.com studios, Mr. Mike Rose.
And here I am, ladies and gentlemen. This has been a great week. We went to a movie premiere this week, or screening.
Yes, sure.
And,
which we'll get into shortly. Yeah, we'll talk a little Mummy, non-spoiler.
Yep.
We got a little, we're actually getting to a, we're doing a retrospective, if you will.
We're going to do this for a while. This is going to be an ongoing thing.
It's going to be a four-part series. We're going to start with the 80s, because I think the era for me was introduced to movies. We'll start from there, do 90s. The early 2000s and in the current era, so we're doing throughout four episodes. We're very excited about that. We'll break them down. What are the big things about it? The big themes? Who are the best actors, directors, etc., etc., etc.? Before I get to all that, though, we're going to get into it. Unfortunately, we do this from time to time. We mentioned some tragic news, and of course, just yesterday we lost in the world of geekdom a tragic figure, an iconic figure, actor, of course, Adam West. Died of, I think he had a battle with leukemia, if I'm not mistaken, age of 88. So he's, you know, so...
He beat the house. They need to stop talking about things being tragic when somebody's...
I mean, it's still
sad. No, come on, man. I
think it's because more leukemia thing. If, you know, natural causes, it's fine.
Remember this thing from last year, the worst year ever, about all these celebrities that died? Here's my thing. I didn't know any of these people personally. It's sad that they go. But, I mean, come on.
It definitely hits. I mean, for us, it's more.
He's definitely
an iconic. Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, he is. I mean, he's the first one to don the cow and a cape. He's in the
first.
Wasn't the first, right?
No, there was a 30s guy.
Okay.
They had a serial, and then they actually did a movie. It was crap. It was, you know, 30s serial schlock.
It was probably the first one that I guess people recognize.
He's the first famous one in this period, this where people actually know movie stars. So
exactly, and I think he's done other stuff. Don't get me wrong, small things, but that's what he's primarily known for.
He's known for Batman,
of course, and he should be. And some people think he's the best Batman.
I loved the show when I was a kid. It's just one of those great things.
The great cheesy campiness that it had. You know, he made us believe in a shark repellent. I mean, that's kudos to them. But he's been around. Some actors are lucky. We wish they could have that one role that defines them. He had it. Some people have, you know.
Some people have other things.
Other things that are not good. But I was thinking about this. Like Tom Cruise, which we talked about plenty of times, I don't think there's one role that defines him that he's known for. Like, you could say, oh, that's, people know him as X. He's done a lot of tons of great movies. But,
it's you know. That
Harrison Ford's got two.
Right.
Which is, that's...
Indiana Jones and Han Solo.
Yeah, that's, also, that's
though,
crazy.
Though, he's got other movies that he did that are pretty good.
No, of course he does. No, I'm not saying he doesn't. Of course he does. Yeah. But I mean, it's always like, you know, Anthony Hopkins, for example, he's Hannibal Lecter. It's just call it what it is. But either way, so, you know, and I know the geek community is sad, and I get it. And, you know, rest in peace, all that good stuff. Yeah. And from there, there's no easy transition out of there. So, we'll move on. It is what it is. So let's move on. I want to touch real quickly. We talked about extensively last week about Rotten Tomatoes and doing the issues, stuff like that. And actually, we talked about this earlier, Mike, and I discovered something interesting, which I didn't know because, you know, I primarily use my phone, and who doesn't? You know, I'm checking reviews and Rotten Tomato scores, and it gives you the percentage, which we talked about extensively last week. But I noticed an actual desktop that right below where it gives you the tomato reader, tomato, whatever you call it, tomato. It says tomato meter, whatever.
Tomato meter.
It actually breaks down the average rating for you. So, for example, I'm looking at the Mummy, which we'll talk about shortly, and if you just look at the rating, it says 70%, which signifies it's pretty bad. However, if I look at the bottom, at the average rating, not saying that it's good, but the average rating is 4.3 out of 10. So is it good? No. But is it as bad as 17% makes it out to be? Of course not.
I think that's where I have issues with Rotten Tomatoes, because most people, you know, myself and you are movie people. So we go into the weeds on this data and look at it. I just don't think, and this is just me once again saying that I feel like that the possibility exists that they can manipulate the data to fit the narrative that they want to put out there. And I'm going to tell you something else. I was on Deadline today and I looked, and already this worldwide, that movie's done $160 million for the weekend. So I don't know that the Rotten Tomatoes have affected the, as far as the box office goes.
We're going to check right now. We're here, obviously, it's Sunday around 11-ish in the morning, and about 30 minutes.
Well, they always project Sunday.
The estimates will come out. I know just based on Friday at 12 million domestics, we're looking at maybe...
And I'm just talking worldwide.
No, I know. Let's talk domestic. I think Rotten Tomatoes has the effect is domestically.
It especially killed in China again.
Right. So we're looking at maybe in the low 30s, and that's not a good number from when it's $120 million budget. I don't know. Worldwide, we talked about this.
Probably right, but if it's before. Already at 160 worldwide, it's already made its money.
Well, not yet. It still has a long way to go. That marketing, and they might take a third of the cut. But it is amazing. $36 million. If you just look at the domestic, $36 million, we'll see how it is in 20 minutes or so. It's not good. It's not good for that kind of big budget movie. Worldwide, I think he's got more appeal. And I mean, Warcraft, same thing. We talk Warcraft and other movies.
And they're making a sequel to Warcraft, not based on domestic.
Of course not. Yeah, because the tank thing. It's just bad. But there is something more to it. I didn't know about it, so I figured let you guys know. Check on the desktop version only. Because I'll give you an example of this Megan Lee, which came out, which is okay. That's at 80%, which sounds great.
You know what, dude? You know me, I'm a dog guy, right? Yeah. I have dogs. I love dogs. I can never go to those movies because I just... They rip my kishkis out.
In all fairness, it's not a sad one. Most dog movies don't end well. I got a chance. I didn't review it, but I saw it.
Dogs live between the average of 7 and 15 years. That's it. That's what most dogs' lifespan is. So if you own a dog, chances are... Unless something awful happens to you, the dog's not going to make it for your lifetime. It's a sad thing. And like I said, I don't like those kind of movies because it's basically a depression pill. So, Manchester by the Sea,
But in all fairness, it wasn't a sad movie per se. But that was getting 80% Rotten Tomatoes.
Yes.
So it sounds like this movie, 80% sounds like a really good number when you look at the next line with the rating. Is actually 6.7 out of 10, which is a little bit. It's okay.
It's a little better than
it's
average.
It's okay. Right. Which I agree with.
It's a little better than what BVS did, and that's why I think that they can manipulate the tomato meter to make a movie look better than it is. All you have to do is change a couple of rating points, man.
I guess, but I just to be myself, and I just don't know what the purpose of that. What they gain from that?
I absolutely 100% agree with you.
Yeah, it's like what would they? I mean, that's why would they? Unless the Rotten Tomatoes independent, unless they're getting paid, but I don't want to fall to subscribe to that belief. But either way, but just not even want to get too much into it. But again, there's something to look into. For those who don't know, there's a regular meter and there's the average ratings. I think the average rating is probably a better depiction of how good the movie is or isn't.
Agreed.
So that's for you guys out there. So let's move on. But I do want to touch on The Mummy because I think that's a big story for the week in terms of movie related news.
We're going spoiler free for this.
Yeah, just spoiler free. Okay. Yeah, it's not a way I want to really go too deep into. First of all, I think we saw it a few days ago before it came out. It's not as bad as the ratings make it appear to be. I get it. I think when I look at the average 4.3, it's probably a fair rating, to be honest. It's not. I can go. Maybe I'll say maybe 5 if I have to use a regular.
Going into spoiler areas, I'm going to say that I think it was a 5 to 6, depending on when I was watching. The plane crash, which I'm not spoiling anything because that was in the trailer.
That was a cool scene.
I was in the 6 area on the movie.
Yeah, it was a good scene.
When I thought Tom Cruise was excellent in the movie, I thought he did a very good job. He's always very good in action movies. Might be one of the best action movie heroes of all time.
Agreed.
Thought that Russell Crowe was very good, although, and this isn't his fault, I felt like there should have been some kind of transformation for him to turn into Mr. Hyde.
Yeah, we got teased with that.
Yeah, it was terrible though. Yeah. It was like he went literally made noises with his mouth and then started with a Cockney accent. Yeah, it was like, oh, can we, Eddie? You know, and I was like, wait, what? That was his transformation? He changed accents?
Yeah, he looked exactly the same. He looked exactly the same. I know that was
it. No, but he was moving his, he was like was you know weird. What it reminded me of? Was like in Dumb and Dumber when the guy drank the pee in the beer, out of the beer bottle.
Yeah.
And he made that face. That was exact. That was the transformation right there, kids.
Yeah, it was kind of weird. But the whole thing for me, Russell Crowe didn't work.
But I thought he did a good. I think he's a great actor.
He was good.
I thought he was good in it.
It was too much. I don't think
he should ever be in any fight scenes. He's just not. I know he's an athlete in his own way. But and I'm waiting for him to do a great role again, like Gladiator, where he's going to like blow people away, because I know that he's a talented actor.
Oh, he's great.
And he's done movies that I really like. I love Master and Commander. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people don't like that movie. It's been vilified, but I think it's a very good movie. I think he did well in this movie. I don't think it was I think that there's a lot of cow pies littered throughout the movie. I think the CGI is out of control when it came to some of the effects and, you know, underwater zombies is a stupid thing, in my opinion. Just stupid. There's a bunch of crap in here, and like I said, I'm not trying to spoil. But overall, the movie's a fun movie, and it's good popcorn. It's not, you know, you could take your kids to it. There's no over-the-top violence or sex.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a bad movie. It's a good scary movie. There were some times that I jumped. It was all right. It was okay.
For me, it's middle of the road. I think like a little more than I
guess. That's not horrible. Maybe I'm coming off wrong, but listen, this isn't Get Out. Okay, this isn't one of those that's going to blow you away. It's not.
It's very run of the mill.
It's good for It's good for what it is.
But I think for me, I mean, here we are. We got this big dark universe, you know, generating out of this. And I don't think it's the best way to. You want to put your best foot forward, and this wasn't it. This is not a good way to get anybody excited. Well, I can't wait for The Miserable Man. Or now I'm just like, because I think it's an uphill climb now.
This is a single, right? This is not even a ground rule double.
I called it an error single, and they got on base because someone missed the ball. I think my problem with this is because this movie was just all over the road. I mean, it tried to be scary, and I don't think it was.
I'm interested in seeing what they do with Frankenstein if Javier Bardem is truly in it.
Is it the tone? I'm thinking, what kind of tone do they want? The tone should be somewhat similar across the board, right? This movie did nothing. Okay, it tried to be funny, and it wasn't funny. The comedy was bad. It had decent action.
Yeah, the comedy was
the
bad.
The comedy was bad.
The American Werewolf in London ripoff was bad. Yeah. No, I absolutely 100% agree with that. There were many things I didn't like about the movie.
And I'm more concerned now, okay, what kind of tone, what kind of visions do they have for this universe? Is this what they're going to give us? But they're not sure what they wanted out of the mummy. Oh my God, what do they want for the... I mean, Frankenstein scary or...
Is he,
I don't know, it's weird.
Where moving forward are they going? What part of it... Where is this going to fit in the universe other than moving forward? We know that a certain character in the movie is going to be a quote-unquote monster, even though he didn't look like a monster to me. So, I mean, it's frustrating from a certain aspect. But if you're going to the movie and you don't care about the dark universe, if you're going to the movie to be entertained, it's an entertaining movie.
And I'm wrong. It's things I liked about it.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair. Like I said, don't lower the expectations.
Look, I'm not saying it's a great movie. It's not a great movie. It's an okay movie.
If you want to spend you think it's worth $15.
I've seen plenty of movies that have been touted better that are worse and vice versa.
No, exactly. It's one of those like it's okay. And I just wish they really get me excited about for the studio. I don't care about me. I'm not making money. I just might care less. But for them, I would assume they would have come out guns blazing.
I would have.
Because you want to set the stage for what's coming.
Really, if you look at the budget they spent, I mean, the CGI wasn't crappy.
No, it was okay.
It was just overdone. It was okay. And I was, a friend of mine at work stopped me in the hall because he knew I was going to the movie, and he's a huge Cruise fan. He was like, hey, what did you think of this? You know, and talk got to that friggin' CGI that's in the original Mummy, but the Mummy from the 90s.
Ben Frazier.
Right. Where there's a cloud and a cloud makes a face. And to me, it's like, that's like so cliche at this point now when it comes to dealing with the Mummy because of that initial trilogy or Do you include the Scorpion King in that too? So
I
that guess. Makes it trilogy.
No, I wouldn't. That's something. That's like a spinoff. That's a spinoff. That wasn't part of the.
Yeah, but that was a terrible movie.
That was a bad movie, but I don't think that was part of the main storyline anyway.
My point of this is that thing is so overdone and so overstated that I don't want to see it.
Saying. It's like it almost tried to copy what the Brendan Fraser one did. I should have gone totally the other way.
Well, they did in a way because this mummy was female, but
it was female, but
was, like I said,
because even that sand phase that was done in that one too, memory serves. That comedy was very reminiscent of the stupid jokes. No, at least the first one was campy, so it worked.
Oh, shout out to that kid Alex that was sitting next to me in the movies. Movie. He's a good guy. He really loved the female lead. I thought the female lead was not very good at all.
She wasn't getting enough to do, but she was fine to what she had.
No, but it wasn't. I didn't think she was a very good actress.
I'll take it back. What are we talking about? Talking about Tom Cruise Love Interest?
The blonde.
Oh, no, I was talking about Sofia Boutella.
No. She's
I forget her name now.
She was not that good.
Yeah, Tom Cruise Love Interest. She was whatever. Yeah. She was who cares.
She was just there. She was chewing
up scenery, prop device, whatever. So, but like I said, for what it was, it was okay. I'm curious to see what they bring out next, what kind of tone they do. I'm not sure which movie's coming up next. As far as the,
I heard Frankenstein is.
Excuse me, I don't know if it's that or Midsommar. I have no idea. They haven't announced it.
Huge. I think that if they don't step up with their biggest property right now,
they need to come guns blazing. Yeah, they need to come guns blazing
because they're good. Universal don't play when it comes to shutting stuff down.
Exactly. And
they've done that before, so you just have to. I think that the Dark Universe people need to get up to the plate and do a Manny Ramirez, man. And
yeah, I don't think they can do two singles in a row. Right. It's not going to do it. It's not going to cut it. Yeah.
This isn't
Marvel.
This
they
movie
can afford,
is going to make money, but it's just barely going to make money. I think that, wow, you're hocking up a loan.
Yeah, you're right. Jesus Christ.
Jeez. I think that this movie is going to make money. I don't think people are going to be talking about this movie moving forward. No. I don't know where it's going to end up in the grand scheme of the Dark Universe, but it was nice to see them try to do something with Henry Jekyll. It was, I'm still not sure what the heck that was at the end with Tom Cruise. I would love to hear feedback from our fans on Facebook or wherever to talk about this, because I think it could be interesting moving forward. It could blow moving forward.
I know. I mean, it sucks because we both love Tom Cruise, and it is what it is.
It's movies that he does.
Yeah. Of course he does. Good movies.
Outside of some of the silliness, the Jack Reacher, things like that.
Right. No, I agree. And it, this face is, he's not the. I mean, we grew up in Tom Cruise. Was going to lead it right into today's conversation. You're right. You grew up with Charlie Chaplin. Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah.
I grew up with Tom Cruise personally. But let's lead right into the 80s. Let's get into it. We're going to break this down, obviously. We're going to, this episode, we'll stick with the 80s, of course. The age of the Reagan era, if you will, Reaganomics, the tearing down the Berlin Wall, if you will, the end of Gorbachev and his nonsense, communist, and the age of excess. I mean, the 80s were, right. I think, that was the big hair and the bands and crazy look, shoulder pads, all kind. Yeah, it's definitely the age of excess. The fashion was very questionable. The girls had the overdone bangs or whatever they can, whatever it is.
Yeah, just the frizzy.
Yeah, the frizzy stuff. Hair. Yeah, it was all about the looks. Very, very, how he says, the shadow's not the right word I'm looking for. Yeah. I can't think
of
that
word. It was an interesting era.
It was. But the movies were kind of the same. I think the movies, that era, I mean, when I hear to compare which the 80s, 90s better, they're all good. Every era is good. Every era has got great movies.
Every era has its own thing.
Exactly. And they have great movies and classics. They all do. To sit there and say who's better, it's impossible.
I will say this about the 80s. It's the era that I really became a huge movie fan, and I think that there's a lot of... I think that the movies, some of the iconic movies that came out in the 80s are still relevant to this day. some of them more so than others.
Oh, no, I absolutely agree. I mean, yeah, these movies are a lot of that that hold up, but still revered, that are recognized. We'll get into all
really
that.
Some really do hold up, though.
Oh, no, hold up. And there's a lot of, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of cheese because it's the 80s.
But there are some that have iconic writing that makes you go, like, wow, this is great.
Of course. And they've influenced movies of today. And then it's clear. We see that. Exactly. And a lot of
or TV shows.
A lot of, just performers, whether they be directors, actors, who still popular doing work now based off the 80s and 20s, 30 years. So, you know, that's how it shows the talent that came out of that era. But you're right, because it was an excess era, we had a lot of, I think it was an era where the comedies were over the top in a good way, that the actions were over the top in a good way, which we don't see now. I think things are a little more serious tone these days. And the people, like, this is an era where, going back to actors, where these iconic figures, whether it be, you know, something like a Schwarzenegger or Tom Cruise, I think where they just by name directly influenced the popularity, the box office, if you will. You can plot, Schwarzenegger, and people are going to go watch it. That doesn't happen
now. That's when people had their names above movies. Exactly. And it still happens. Cruise's name was above the movie.
But I don't think he draws the crowds. The movie has to be good. I was in the 80s, even early 90s too. Like someone like, and I'll mention because she just popped in my head, Julia Roberts, for example. She had like a run of seven or eight straight. $100 million movies, which back then was a lot.
Right, but
just because it was Julia Roberts.
Right, but I don't know about that. Because she had, right at the end of that run, she then banged out probably four or five movies that were just crap.
Eventually that run ends.
Make money. I'm saying that there's some guys, there's some iconic actors from the 80s that have gone the way of they just take money and they don't care. The quality of the movie that they're taking. Robert De Niro is a great example of that. Eddie Murphy is a great example of that. There's a bunch of examples of that. Of guys that have compromised their
After a while,
artistic integrity. I'm doing the air quotes.
I mean, I get it. I mean, they gotta eat.
Hey, they don't gotta eat.
They gotta eat.
Come on, man. They've made Eddie Murphy has more money than any of them.
Yeah, but he's greedy, damn it. He wants to eat good.
I get that. But he could pay for our houses in cash and give us money to eat for the rest of our lives and never miss the month.
I get the hunger is probably not there. Nine times, like, real hunger, but as far as the hunger to be successful, because those guys have reached the mountaintop. There's nothing driving. Most people they drive in their old car to reach the top. Eddie Murphy, when we'll get into a little bit later, reached the top. Pacino, De Niro, Tata. After a while, De Niro's like 90 years old, so I get it more from him, but he's tired and I get it. But Murphy, he's not tired,
he's still working. He's working on crap.
But I mean, what kind of roles can he get as a 70-year-old guy? You know, he's limited to what he can actually, what kind of roles he gets. But anyway, but that's neither here nor there. But let's get into it now. So we're going to start now. We'll start with focus on the acting. We'll start on the male side. A lot of great big names which still exist today, iconic names. Well, iconic, maybe I'm overstating it, but
iconic,
famous, popular, whatever.
Exactly.
Well known, whether you're familiar with the work or not. You use people say a name, I know who that guy or guy. A lot of great actors, man. I mean, obviously, I'll name a few, and I'll name a few. I'm gonna say my top, the actors that quote unquote represented the era better than anything else.
What kind of actors are we just talking
about? In general. Okay. I'm separating the comedic side.
Good.
We'll do it separately. Just doing as far as dramatic or action, whatever. Well, not action, but even action. But yeah, obviously, you have guys like De Niro, of course, and Pacino.
Yes.
You know.
It goes without saying.
It goes without saying.
Honestly,
they go back further.
Consider them iconic 80s actors.
They're not.
Same with Harvey Keitel.
They're in the 70s.
Well, actually, Harvey Keitel might be a guy you might mention in the 80s.
He was around the 70s, too, though.
Yeah, I know that, but I think he didn't make his bones till he did a couple of those movies in the 80s.
He did. He probably done better movies in the 80s, but at least he didn't start in the 80s.
Right.
Pacino did great movies in the 80s, Scarface, for example. See Love as well. I think it was in the 80s.
De Niro.
Raging Bull.
Bobby D, the same thing. Goodfellas.
Yeah, I mean, you can go on and on with those guys, but they always, they deserve to be mentioned in any era, even the 90s, which we'll get into next week. For me, Tom Cruise, obviously. Because I saw Tom Cruise, he rose in the 80s, and he was huge. People don't forget, he was a big name. He came out with Risky Business, All the Right Moves. He was in Top Gun, Color of Money, Cocktail, not all the great movies, but, Days of Thunder, Born the 4th
of July. Was that an 80s movie?
Yeah, Born the 4th of July was another one.
That was the end of the 80s.
Yeah, towards the end. But he had throughout the 80s, and he was a big name. He was huge. He was a movie star back then. Michael J. Fox is one that came to me. He was huge in TV.
Yes.
I met Michael P. Keaton, Family Ties, which I love. But I mean, he had Back to the Future, which is iconic in the 80s. Anything else?
He made a ton of money in the 80s.
The Secret of My Success, another fantastic movie. Teen Wolf is camping cheesy, but it was great
it represented
the era well. But it was great. Michael Douglas, Romancing the Stone, Wall Street, which is like...
Wall Street was a huge movie.
Iconic performance as far as Michael Douglas is concerned. He was, Richard Gecko, the character in Wall Street.
Gordon
Gecko.
Did I know that? I don't know
what. Wall Street did. But he was great. Jack Nicholson obviously was big in the 80s as well. Mel Gibson.
Jack is a 70s guy.
He's a 70s guy, but he still had big movies in the 80s. It's not like he was like writing on his name.
He was the Joker in Batman.
He was a Joker in the 89. So that's true. Yeah, he had that. Yeah. So, Witches of Eastwick, which is I got to mention Harrison Ford for obvious reasons. And
Han Solo.
Han Solo. By virtue of Han Solo and Indiana Jones. That's all you got to say.
He has a run of movies that he's...
Well, he had Witness, Blade Runner. I want to say Chain of Present Danger. Was that the 80s?
Right.
That might have been the 80s. I don't remember.
I think it was. I think it was 88 or 89.
Potentially. But just by virtue of Han Solo and Indiana Jones, that's all you need at the end of the day.
Did you say Schwarzenegger?
Well, I'm going to get to him in a second. Okay. Mel Gibson, of course, Lethal Weapon, which we'll get more into. We have he did the Mad Max series. I think I think at least the second two were in the 80s. I'm not sure the first Mad Max is 80s or not.
No, it's 79.
Okay, that's what I thought.
But he did have a lot of movies, Lethal Weapon series, like you said.
I think the first one was 80.
The Year of Living Dangerously, which is an iconic movie, if you ever get a chance to see that movie.
Yeah.
He's been in a lot of movies and is a very good actor.
Of course, still, to this day,
is an iconic director.
And he's the Revenant. All these guys you mentioned, Harrison Ford. Michael J. Fox for obvious reasons, but Harrison Ford, Gibson, Nicholson, De Niro, Pacino, Douglas, those are all names that still reside today. I'm making movies that are known today, which is amazing. The Brat Pack is interesting. I mean, for those that aren't familiar with the Brat Pack, and maybe youngsters who may know who the hell they are and what we're talking about. We're not talking about Sammy Davis Jr. and Dean Martin. That's the Brat Pack. But the Brat Pack was,
Emilio Estevez,
Rob Lowe, Charlie Sheen, Matt Dillon,
Demi Moore, Molly Ringwald,
Anthony Michael Hall, was he considered?
Anthony Michael Hall was part of the Brat Pack.
These were the guys were. And we'll talk about those movies.
What was the name of the guy? You know who was part of the Brat Pack was friggin' Robert Downey Jr. And the other cat that was in Breakfast Club, which we'll talk about later.
Judd Nelson,
very good.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
those guys were... That was an iconic group of actors who did like a bunch of movies, a lot of coming-of-age movies together. Right. And they were but they all had kind of issues. You know, 80s was access when it came to the dark side as well in terms of alcohol. Of course, cocaine had just exploded during that era. And you can tell most people were using it and they were just a lot. Robert Downey Jr. is one that's probably what documented his issues and where he was before Iron Man kind of pulled him out of the fire. But those guys, most of those guys are still around for the most part anyway. Anybody I'm missing? Anybody besides you think of before I get into it? And as far as we get into my top
two guys. I would also mention, even though he's a kind of a guy from that thing, is Andrew McCarthy, who's in both Ferris Bueller Day Off and St. Elmo's Fire and a couple other movies.
Weekend at Bernie's.
Iconic, yeah.
That's right, Manny.
So, iconic movie appearances. Matthew Broderick's another one that's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
But, again, that's comedy, I guess. But there's, Charlie Sheen's in that movie, too. So, I mean, there's a bunch of...
There are a lot of guys. Yeah. And like you said, what's the other guy named? As far as we were joking on when our production meeting, the best... Michael Bean, of course. How we see him in The Abyss and
he was in the first Terminator,
Aliens, Hicks, and the Aliens.
He was a favorite of James Cameron.
Yeah, but he was that guy. So he's that guy. He's the top guy from that thing in the '80s, as far as I'm concerned. That was a good pull from Mike.
Bill Paxton is another one.
Of course, he did Cameron as well.
He's in Weird Science too, bro.
He is Chet.
Yeah,
he's a brother. Yeah, which is
iconic role.
Iconic. so many good movies in the 80s.
Yeah.
But for me, the top two guys. Let me preface this.
You want to do? Hey, let's just do a. Let's just do a Mount Rushmore of 80s act.
Well, let me mention these guys too. These guys are going to be up there. We'll do. We'll do that. Absolutely.
No, but we should have our own Mount
Rushmore. We'll do a Mount Rushmore. We'll do the after we do the all the actors. Then we'll do one giant Mount Rushmore.
I love that.
So the top two, as far as guys, and again, this is not the best actors.
We're talking about our crappy opinion.
Exactly. Well, as far, not even that, but just because the guys I'm about to mention aren't good actors per se. Well, the questionable.
Iconic.
But they're iconic, and I think they represented the era so well. Now, for me, it's a tie. Both tied together is Arnold and Stallone.
Okay, that's
these
good.
Guys were when action movies were big in the 80s.
You went to
very big. And Stallone has some serious
work. Get to the chopper.
Get to the chopper. Not that Tuma. I mean, can you go for I'll Be Back and Young Forever with Arnold. But those two guys, I mean, this, you know, Predator, Total Recall, Rockies, Rockies, Cobra.
The Rambo movies.
Yeah, Rambos, absolutely, First Blood.
Actually, First Blood is an amazing
Movie. And actually, I have that. We'll talk about that.
It's over, Johnny.
Yeah, that's it's over. I mean, that's really...
Was that Richard Crenna?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And Twins, and you know, The Running Man. We got Kindergarten Cop, but I love
Running
Man.
Running Man's a good movie.
But I mean, those guys were everywhere. And when you think 80s, those were the guys. You know, and those these guys were people know. Even if you don't see any of these movies, you know who the hell Stallone is. You know who the hell is, and they're still relevant today for the most part.
You got that.
And it's great even when this guy went into the governorship, and he was a governor. I mean, just he couldn't escape it. He is what he is.
Yeah.
But those are two guys I think represent the era the best. They're not the best actors. Let's not make no mistake about that.
I agree with you.
You know, but those are the two guys for me.
I think those are the two. I think Stallone. If you look at how people fall off, I think Stallone fell off farther near the end of the 80s. I think around 88, I think he crested, and he kind of went down. I think that Schwarzenegger still had a little more time. Terminator 2 Judgment Day is in the 90s, 92. And it's an iconic, and it's probably his apex of great movies.
Yeah. Agreed.
However, he did make other movies on top of that. His 80s stuff is, in my opinion, his best stuff. Although T2, I don't think T2 is great because of him. I think T2 is great. I think if he would have found anybody else to do that role, James Cameron, which is a great movie, I think he would have, that movie still would have been iconic. I think, though, a lot of the, like Predator, was totally Arnold Schwarzenegger being over the top.
Of course.
You're one ugly mother.
That's the way the movie's so great.
I'm just saying that's...
Yeah. And he was the king of one-liners.
And he had them all over the place. In like a crappy movie like Commando, he had one-liner. You remember when I said I was going to kill you last? I lie.
He's in the airplane and he... He elbows the guy and he dies.
Okay.
But there was a guy who was following him, and the stewardess comes over. What's wrong with your friend? Oh, he's dead tired. You know?
He's dead tired.
He's so bad. But it's great. It's great. That's what Arnold was. That's what the 80s was. That cheese, that ooze off the air. And no one did it better than Arnold switching against
him. What I'm saying is, like, his 80s work is iconic.
Yeah.
His 90s work is pretty good, but his 80s work is where
he peaked as far as...
Sylvester Stallone, the same thing. I think the difference between Sylvester and Arnold is when Arnold kept building on his movie roles. Okay, he kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger, trying to get bigger and bigger and bigger until he hit the 90s. I think Sly still had in his mind that some movies I think he was being sold on things that ultimately damaged him. I think in if you look at his career,
I just don't think he embraced who he was.
He did movies like Fist that were terrible. Yeah. He did Over the Top, which was awful.
It's terrible.
It's so bad. Was it Turner & Hooch?
No,
it wasn't Turner & Hooch. I'm thinking of another movie where he was a cop.
Oh, Tango Cash. I love that one. It's so bad. I love it. That's another thing. That's a guilty pleasure.
That's a Tenacious D line, too, by the way.
Tango and Cat is great. Jack Allen's. Come on.
No,
just a great movie. A really bad movie.
There's a bunch of really bad movies.
I think his, in terms of the art of acting, quote unquote, and he
reached, Rainbow 3 was he, just he reached a bloody
higher,
mess.
He retired planes than Schwarzenegger with Rocky, obviously, and even after Rocky did
it. No, but it seemed to me like every time he he'd go on the ropes, he'd come back with another Rocky movie. So it's like...
You gotta go to the well sometimes, Danny.
Well, Rocky 1, I think, was 79. I don't think it was 80.
I don't think it was 82.
No, 79.
79. The first one, the second was 82.
Rocky 2 was
which is a really good movie.
Rocky 2 is a really good movie. Really good I think Rocky 2 was 81 or 82. 81, I remember 82. Seeing that
it's
in the theater.
It's in the 80s, yes.
And it was an amazing movie. That Rocky 3, I saw at a drive-in.
Great cheese. Yeah. And Rocky 4 is great cheese. Rocky 4 was... if you think when we had the 80s, which really represented the era well,
right.
In terms of the political landscape we were at, the Rocky IV was, there it is, the 80s in a film. You watched that, the whole thing, when obviously with the communism and USA versus, it was typified perfectly in that movie.
Ironically, in the 80s, a movie called Reds came out, which kind of tried to glorify the communist... the communist takeover of Russia in the early 30s or whatever it was, or in the teens. I don't know. My brain is not working today.
What was the other one that played on the same thing, the same fears back in the day? Well, Red Dawn.
Yeah, but Reds wasn't a movie like that. Reds was made by Warren Beatty and a bunch of
Red Dawn, Halloween leftist
morons.
Red Dawn was a cheese fest.
No, Red Dawn was a great 80s movie.
It's great.
Patrick Swayze's in that movie, man.
But that's when they just played on the whole fear and the paranoia with the communism and all that. But yeah.
My point in this is that while you had these movies like Rocky IV, where every Russian was a bad guy, that you had this movie that Warren Beatty was doing that made no money, that won an Oscar and blah blah blah. It was just funny to me. It was funny and ironic at the same time that the only movies that really made money in Hollywood were the ones that kind of reflected the popular opinion in that day, and the stuff that didn't reflect popular opinion kind of failed. But Hollywood had their revenges that they give these movies awards and Oscars and things like that. Okay. And same to this day, as you get this kind of crap jammed down your throat. When really you don't want to watch it.
No, and it happens in area, and that was no different.
No, same thing. Sorry, I didn't mean to go on a tangent.
But let's move on to the female side. Yes. Because, we don't want to overshadow them, of course, in the age of Wonder Woman anyway. A lot of great, again, same thing with these women that are still relevant today.
Queen of the Depression, Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep, I mean, that's... I think our best era was in the 80s.
Sophie's Choice is shoot yourself in the head. Watch a movie, that movie sometime.
Yeah.
Terms of Endearment. I can bring out probably 10 of her movies from that era.
She was the best. She's probably the best actress of all time, but in the 80s, there's no one better than her. I'm not using her to represent the era, but she's...
She really is an iconic in that way.
She is. There's no
question. No, I mean, she's not in that way.
Oh, she's not.
Of the era.
Oh, no, right. That's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, she doesn't typify the era. She's just a phenomenal actress, had great movies. Sigourney Weaver is another one that jumps into mind. So she had Working Girl, Ghostbusters, who was in there.
The movie about? Was it Silkwood? Was that her? It was a movie where she was working in a factory or something and she got cancer. I think it was Silkwood. It was one of those. Anyway, it doesn't really
matter. It doesn't matter. But yeah, but those are two that came to mind. Michelle Pfeiffer was big in the 80s. Glenn Close was another one. I think Fatal Attraction, which is back then was a
huge movie.
Huge movie. Phoebe Cates is worth mentioning. She was, I guess, the sex symbols of the era, particularly the early 80s of Fast Times.
Fast Times, the original.
She did a few movies back then. She was so cute. Kim Basinger, huge sex symbol. But she did a lot of that. Was 9.5 weeks in it? Yeah, 9.5 weeks in the 80s.
Mickey Rourke,
Batman, all that. Those are the ones that stood in my mind. For me, though, the one that typifies the 80s more than anything else, again, not to say she's the best actress in the world, but she is better than people say she was. Molly Ringwald.
Yes.
To me, she was the 80s with the hair, the look, that girl everybody wanted to be.
The iconic scene that she does is when she puts the stupid eye makeup on with her.
The lipstick? She puts it in the Breakfast Club.
I guess. I thought it was eye makeup, wasn't it?
It was lipstick.
I think it was eye makeup, dude.
I gotta check. It doesn't matter. She put makeup on some part of her face, but we're having the whatever it was in between her.
Such a good movie.
But she was. I mean, she had a run.
Ally Sheedy's another one.
She was around too. But Molly Ringwald had the Breakfast Club, 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. What's his Santa Was Fire? Maybe I'm wrong in that. She was fire. She had like a 4 or 5 run, 6 run movies, very popular. But she was typical. I mean, she's the girl that 80s girl, pick one out. I'm hard-pressed to find anybody else who represents the 80s better than her.
Weird because she's not your glamorous.
She's not. She's Hollywood. Not. I think which kind of work people liked her because she wasn't Kim Basinger.
She was a cute girl. She wasn't okay. like a really super hot. She wasn't like Farrah Fawcett.
That's something. I think that's what made her relatable. Right. I think girls could identify with her.
Or if you were in the 80s, Farrah Fawcett Majors.
Farrah Fawcett, but again, Farrah Fawcett, Kim Basinger, Phoebe Cates, that were...
Oh, she's a horrible actress.
She's a horrible actress. No, of course not a terrible actress, but I'm saying as far as just sex symbols, they're upper echelon at that time. Marty Ringwald wasn't, but she was just...
She's just identifiable. She was just a girl.
She's identifiable. I think people liked her because of it. And she wasn't a bad actress. And she has some good movies beyond the 80s, which is very small, but she was actually not that bad.
Actually, a contemporary of hers maybe, who... To me, I would compare to Molly Ringwald's 80s run would be Anne Hathaway. I think plays the same kind of characters.
That's a fair comparison.
I think. Yeah. Maybe Anne Hathaway's a little more glamorous.
She is, but not...
But I think she played the same kind style. Of
characters. And she's is very relatable to her. She seems like an everyday kind of girl and all that. But you're absolutely right. That's a good call on that. Comedy. The comedy. Yes. For me, 80s was...
80s comedies, man. You don't have comedies like
era.
That.
We'll get into the movies in a minute. But as far as the actors, and I'm going to read you off the list of names. These names are... You know who they are. They're just so freaking talented. The movies, and I didn't really hit. But what are we talking about? SNL. Obviously, they got the movies and stand-up. Guys like John Candy.
Right.
Brilliant. Leslie Nielsen, obviously, for what he did with spoof movies.
Before you move on, do you want to talk about them while we talk about them, or do you want to just name off the names and then we'll talk?
Let's name enough names and then we'll get into it. So I had John Candy. If I'm missing some, please add them. Leslie Nielsen, Chevy Chase, Dan Aykroyd, Steve Martin, Danny DeVito, Bill Murray, female side Lily Tomlin, Goldie Hawn, Whoopi Goldberg, Martin Short. I'm going to skip one name on purpose because he's the top guy and we'll get to him in a second. But those are the names I had on top of my head.
Okay, Rick Moranis.
Rick Moranis. Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor.
Absolutely.
Even though he was in that horrible Superman 3.
Yeah, he was. But, I mean, I know he came up in the 70s, but Gene Wilder, another one, obviously in the 80s.
Gene Wilder, huge.
But these guys were big, so talented. I think that's what's lacking in today's day, in my opinion anyway. I think why the comedies, we talked about last week, the comedies and the kind of the decline of comedies.
I think that the decline of comedies is very real. Because
the talent is not there.
For example, Netflix just added Young Frankenstein.
Yeah, watch the
other. There's nothing funnier than that movie. That movie, with the genre that it takes and the joke, it's so chock full of jokes. You have to understand all the work that went into putting together this movie and how ridiculous it is as far as when you compare it to any of these suck fests that are going on right now when it comes to so-called comedies. We were talking about Office Christmas Party last time. I'm like, if that's what we have, if that's what we're presenting as examples of funny movies in this day and age, we're in trouble. If Masterminds is a toll gate for the aughts.
In all fairness, no one liked them movies.
There's all kinds of if Neighbors, they made a Neighbors 2, so somebody watched that movie, okay? Somebody liked that movie.
Yeah, I get it.
It's not anything, but when you watch that and then you watch Blazing Saddles or Young Frankenstein or any of the High Anxiety, if you watch Caddyshack, if you watch Meatballs.
Oh, there's tons of movies.
How about Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield?
I know the guy.
That's why I should have mentioned. It's a parking lot.
Sam Kinison. This guy's
Ted Knight was amazing.
Ted Knight, absolutely. I mean, it was a great comedian. I think that's why the comedy was so successful in that era.
Sam Kinison is more of a stand-up.
He is, but he's still... He wasn't back to school when he was brilliant. He's a great teacher.
Right, but I don't think as far as a movie...
But he's the guy that was around at that time, all these comedians...
And really, he was discovered by Rodney Dangerfield.
He was. But they're all pushing each other at the end of the day.
All I'm saying is that there's funny stuff that went on in that era still funny to this day.
Yeah.
Easy Money with Rodney Dangerfield has so many funny things in it. Yeah. People don't understand how ridiculously funny he was. And Caddyshack is another movie that's just jam-packed full of funny.
Yeah.
It's like, there's, Look, the line where the guy is talking about how he wants to be, you know, how Danny is the main character of the movie, yeah. A kid, kind of Willie Ames looking kid. He's not Willie Ames, but no. He's walking and talking about how he wants to make something of himself. And Ted Knight listens to his whole spiel as there. He's a caddy for Ted Knight. Ted Knight's this rich guy that owns the country club, or is the president. I think he's a president of the country club.
He's a judge as well.
He's a judge. Yes. Yeah. And at the end of it, Ted Knight just goes, "Well, the world needs ditch diggers too." And you know what? That's Mike Rose in a nutshell. I mean, when I hear people bitching about how their lives suck. You really have to grab, if you want to be somebody, you have to grab life by the cojones and just let it go and do what you really want to do. And you have to understand that not everything happens the way you want it to happen, and you just have to grab it. The 80s were a perfect example of that, is that you can't make money unless you work at the cash register. And that movie was jam-packed full of jokes. The Baby Ruth bar and the swimming pool. Bill Murray just going
and
off.
That movie had talent in there. Bill Murray, Chevy Chase was great. Ted Knight, Rodney Dangerfield. Talk about the who's who of comedy. That movie was great. It's a great movie. And it still holds up. Yeah, it looks dated. I get it. But
that's the kind of hat you buy and get a free bowl of soup. Oh,
it was good on you. It's great stuff. But obviously, the 80s belong to, isn't the top guy, Eddie Murphy.
Yeah,
he was the guy. this guy was hitting home runs left and right. Oh my God, Berrios Cobb, 48 Hours, Trading Places, right. Golden Child, Coming to America.
Huge.
I mean, huge. Huge. 48 Hours.
He made ridiculous.
Raw, Delirious. The two stand-up that they put on the theater. Dude, this guy was hitting it out of the park.
Right.
This guy became a rock star,
right?
From comedian, he was just bigger than life. You know, he was everywhere. He was the man. I don't think anyone's dominated comedy in movies any more than he did in any era, as far as I'm concerned.
Right.
He was phenomenal, and his movies hold up.
You know what's funny is that he did some pretty huge movies in the 90s.
He did.
But in the 80s is when he really was knocking it out.
Especially the beginning of, and obviously not his TV, but Saturday Night Live, when he was killing it. Saturday Night Live with Mr. Robinson's Neighborhood, and Gumby and whatever.
I'm Gumby.
And that he parlayed that into a career that, man, this guy was on fire. Everybody
still is. And really, if he's
still
does a movie,
right?
If he does a movie, it still makes money. He made those real crappy 90s comedies, that like early 90s, where it's still, even though those movies were crap, he still made lots of money.
I guess he got soft.
Vampire in Harlem. Come on, that movie is awful. And that movie still made $75 million.
That was really bad. But then like Dr. Dolittle, which is fine. Right. But anyway, Night Professor was funny as hell. The first one, I think, was hilarious. But he did, and what's good about him, and speaking of Night Professor, and I think, and Coming to America, and I did the same thing, he played multiple characters like no one else did.
Right.
I mean, he did 5 or 6 characters at the same time, and he played different people in makeup. He played the mother. Played female, the old guy, played a white Jewish guy. He was ridiculous. He was great.
Right. This goes back to SNL stuff.
He was genius. And it sucks that where he's at now, he's pretty much obscure.
I don't know if he's obscure.
He can
still make movies and people will go.
I guess. Well,
his problem is when he does movies that like now.
It's not the same.
No. I think he still could do something. I just think it's one of these things where I'm not sure where his mind goes. He thinks of himself as something else than what everybody else thinks of himself as.
Or thinks of him as, I should say.
Because I think he thinks he's a serious actor. I think he thinks he's a serious actor, too. I don't think he's a serious actor. I think when he does comedies, he needs to find a perfect comedy to be in, and he'll kill.
Yeah.
I thought he was great in Dreamgirls, but he really was playing a part that where he was... where he was really playing Eddie Murphy. I mean, that's where I am with him. And one of his drawbacks, and I guess one of his weaknesses, is he never really was much of an actor.
No.
He was very funny.
He
was funny when he played himself.
Of course.
Or when he did impressions of other people, because that's what that was.
Yeah, we did characters.
Right.
Yeah, that's what his
niche
was.
But he's still himself.
Of course, I totally agree. But no one's bigger than him in the 80s, and in terms of even bigger than Schwarzenegger. Well, I could argue that, but
But you get you know, there's a bunch of movies in the 80s that we could talk about that are iconic comedies.
Well, going back as far as the ad real quick before we get to the movies, because you mentioned Mount Rushmore. So male, female, comedic, whatever. Who are your top 80s? You got four faces. Who you jack up?
Period?
Period.
Ooh, that's good.
Who are they? You say, this is the 80s. These are the four guys.
Oh, it's got to be Arnold. It's got to be one of them.
I agree.
Just because of his box office and his iconic roles.
I agree 100%.
And not because he's a great actor, because he really
is. No, it's just what he was, you know.
Okay, here we go.
I'm putting Eddie there. I have to put Eddie there.
Eddie has to be there.
He has to. That's two. For me, that's the two. Yeah. Easily.
I think the next two get tough. I think Cruise has got to be there because of his movies. If you look at his catalog, he's up there. And then maybe...
I thought about it.
I'm not going to include Pacino, De Niro, or Duvall. Because they're not... Even though they're great actors and they did great movies in the 80s... They are an iconic actor. They didn't do anything iconic in the 80s. Flip.
I mean, I'm tempted to put Meryl Streep there because...
I think Meryl Streep belongs up there, but there's nothing iconic about what she did.
That's my problem. You're right. If you're talking about just identifying the 80s, I would probably...
How about this, dude? Why don't you put on your thinking cap and think about this? Okay, how about Murphy, Schwarzenegger... Cruise. Stallone or Cruz, interchangeable.
I'll probably go Cruz.
Molly Ringwald.
I'm fine with that. I think that works. That's in terms of the 80s. Again, this is not judging about the greatest actor of the era. Yeah, just who represent the era, what the most success.
If you look at the awesome movies that came out in that time,
those four names will probably be attached to most of the movies.
Right.
Or at least have multiple movies.
Hundreds of millions of dollars made. Yeah. In the 80s and after the 80s and people watching those movies on TV.
And they still watch them today.
Right.
So a lot of them. So those will be the four, and I agree with you.
Okay.
Real quick, as far as directors, I mean, this is fair to mention directors.
Yes.
A lot of guys, John Landis.
Right, Landis.
Great. Rob Reiner.
American Werewolf in London.
Exactly,
right.
Fantastic. Rob Reiner. Reiner's great. Right.
Zemeckis.
Yeah. Really great in the 80s. Yeah. And I was close to him, but he's Back to the Future, Roger Rabbit, to name a few. Oliver Stone, came up big in the 80s, huge in the 80s.
War of the 4th of July.
Platoon, for example, Wall Street, and this guy, that's pretty big. So pretty big movies.
Yeah.
John Carpenter, for what he did, was great. Big Spielberg. Total China, I think. And of course,
Halloween,
I have my number one. Oh, I got myself Richard Donner. I'll throw him out there.
Right.
Two guys, back and forth. I'll mention the first one, as far as an honorable mention, John Hughes.
Yeah, excellent.
John Hughes, man. He was another guy who was on fire.
Breakfast Club,
16 Candles, Ferris Bueller's Days Off, Uncle Buck, which is an underrated movie. Right. He had a bunch. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, if I'm not mistaken, was his as well. He was money. But
is that an 80s movie, though?
Yes. John Hughes was knocking out of the park.
Isn't he the jerk, too?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
I think he is. That's a good one, because The Jerk is a movie that not a lot of people talk about, but it's really freaking funny.
No, that's why Steve Martin deserves to be in the conversation as far as mentioning those guys. But for me, the top guy, I look at John Hughes now. The top guy is clear, much like we mentioned comedy, Eddie Murphy, it's Spielberg. Spielberg, by virtue of three Indiana Jones movies, which are all great, everybody loves them. But also, of course, E.T., iconic, classic. Color Purple, I think, was an Academy. I don't remember that movie won the Academy Award or not.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie.
But it was a good movie. You say what you want. This is John Hughes real quick. 1983. Oh, National Lampoon's Vacation.
Oh, man.
European Vacation, 16 Candles, Breakfast Club, Weird Signs, Pretty in Pink.
By the way, it's Carl Reiner that directed The Jerk.
There you go. Ferris Bueller's Days Off, Planes, Trains, Automobiles, She's Having a Baby, The Great Outdoors, Uncle Buck, Christmas Vacation. That was in the 80s. So he was hitting him a lot. Screenwriter, he wrote and directed. But for me, Spielberg had the most iconic movies. He's the guy you put.
Yep.
At the end of the day, you can't argue. Just with Indiana Jones and E.T., that's okay, you're done. That's a wrap. And he's still relevant today.
Definitely.
Movies now. We'll run through these pretty quickly. I'm starting with the horror. That's more a genre I'm more attuned to than you are, Mike. But real quick, horror like anything else relied on iconic figures. This is the era where the slasher.
Right. Jason,
Friday 13, Nightmare on Elm Street.
Michael Myers.
Well, he was 78, but the second one came out.
Right, but the second one was bigger than the first one.
The second 80. Yeah. obviously Freddy Krueger, Chucky, and Child's Play, all these names, terrible. Shocker, and that's into a great. But it became more about the figure itself, those the entity coming at you, than anything else. But we have American Werewolf in London.
Right.
It's classic, and you mentioned that earlier, and there's no question about that. Evil Dead 2, which is great, and it could be considered a comedy, but
right.
Oh, that The Shining was in the 80s. Hellraiser, another one with Pinhead as the iconic, you know, figure.
I forgot about that. And
I think that my favorite horror movie, and you could argue the science fiction, I think it's more horror and comics both, is The Thing.
Yes.
That movie is...
Even though that's a remake, but it's a remake, incredible. But John Carpenter,
his best movie, don't think any question. That movie's awesome.
Kurt Russell, by the way.
Yeah,
Kurt Russell. We didn't mention it, but
he's not the smartest.
Dude, that guy's had some huge movies in the 80s.
Yeah, Big Trouble in China. He obviously had The Thing.
Right.
Born Escape from New York.
Well, Escape from New York,
That's a big one. He had a lot of smaller movies.
No, Used Cars was a pretty
used
big
cars
movie.
Used Cars, yeah.
And, you know, coming out of, he started out as a Disney kid.
Yeah.
He was like one of those Disney kids. He was a good-looking guy, you know, they latched onto that. He did some really shitty, excuse my French, crappy Disney movies. And it's just like...
He's young. It's good. He's forgiven. Yeah. He doesn't know what he's doing with that age. But he's another one's worth mentioning. But The Thing, for me, it's classic.
Definitely.
And even if you're not a horror fan, that movie's worth
actually,
watching.
You know, that movie didn't have a lot of effects. It's kind of in the
it's
in
all
the
practical
first,
effects.
Right. It's all in the first Alien. It's that same kind of
perceived
terror.
It's that paranoia that just built, which is great.
Right.
And I think that's the way that
went
scarier.
And the music made it that much better.
No, I have better music. John Carpenter.
It's all John Williams too, right?
John Carpenter did. He did his own music.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, in his movies, and no one did it better as far as horror movies. Like even Halloween theme, the most famous one we can agree on. That was John Carpenter's own music. He composed it.
Tubular Bells, I think, was the name of that.
Yeah, so he's phenomenal. Animated, you know, I thought about animated, and isn't like a few ways that came to mind. I was a big age for animated movies. I think there was the tail end of the 80s when Disney had their renaissance.
Right.
And that started with Little Mermaid,
right.
Which is probably the best one of
those.
Yeah, which
was that 89?
Yeah, 88, 89. The best, you know.
Beauty and the Beast was right
that
after
was
that.
Like 1991, and then, you know, Aladdin. That's when the Surgeons came through, which we'll deal with when we talked about
and
the
90s. Lion King,
But Little Mermaid is the one that stood out for me, like Transformers, American Tail, all the ones that came up, but they weren't like iconic. But Little Mermaid is.
I don't think, as far as movies go, they weren't. American Tail.
It's fine. Well, it was. But I mean, like I said, 80s lacked. So I think 80s lacked.
You were a kid then, so you know.
But that's what the 80s lacked was animation, in terms of that.
I agree.
Yeah, I think it came out, it pushed late in the 70s, early before that. But let's talk about sci-fi.
Okay.
Sci-fi.
Star Wars, of course.
Empire Strikes Back. That's the best. That's number one. That's as far as the best one, that's going to be it. But
Total Recall
is great. Yes, I love that movie. Michael Ironside.
Right.
Of course, there's Schwarzenegger. Blade Runner. I'm not a big fan of
it,
but
I get it.
I get it. Predator, we talked about earlier.
Predator is great.
The Terminator.
Yep.
Classic. And
Jesse Ventura, by the way.
Ventura
in 87.
And
right.
Also in Running Man.
Right.
He played off who he played. Wasn't that
he was no? He was just a competitor in the game.
I forget his name. Star Trek was big. I think Star Trek 2 after Khan, which is fantastic.
Very good movie.
Yeah, Voyage Home was another big one.
Yeah,
I thought was
a
great.
Lot of the other stuff that was junk.
No, it's crap. But at least those two were great in terms of the 80s. It's a lot, of, and the things with the sci-fi, which a couple I'm not mentioning, because I think they belong in other categories, so I won't mention them. Because I mean, obviously the best one is Empire Strikes Back, no doubt about it. But Terminator is iconic and all that. Adventure. Action, I guess.
Romancing
movies.
The Stone.
Romancing the Stone.
Yeah,
absolutely. Goonies.
Well, of course,
Indiana
Goonies. Jones.
In that all the Indiana Jones movies.
Right.
What's
that? Raiders of the Lost Ark is the first one.
Yes. All three were in the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
Were all three in the 80s?
Yeah. 89 was Crusade. That's what I said. Yeah.
Okay.
So they all kind of just
River
came
Phoenix.
In.
River Phoenix.
Yeah, River Phoenix. Yeah. We had the young Indiana Jones. Goonies is another one that came to mind and all that. I mean, it's hard not to. For me, and this might be, the easy answer is Raiders of the Lost Ark as a top adventure movie.
Right.
But I'm going to go Back to the Future.
Wow. Okay.
Back to the Future.
I don't have a problem
with that. Yeah, I guess because a comedy, I guess. But that could fit different genres. But
the aspect of that movie, the thing that really, that really kind of turned me on to like time travel stuff that's so interesting and so.
Yes.
Why shows like Man in the High Tower are so appealing to me is alternate history that can come from that kind of stuff. And my crap that I dig, that's right up there with it. The end of the movie where Christopher Lloyd comes back in the DeLorean and says, "Hey, we gotta go. It's not you, it's your kids are dicks," or something like that. And then, like, everybody gets on the car and they leave. But to me, that was great. You're like, man,
that was awesome. I mean, that movie. This is like
at the end of the movie where everything has changed. Like Crispin Glover is like an author.
The Biff is waxing his car now, and his mom is slim.
And the guy that plays Biff is iconic.
Oh, he's great. I forget his name, but he's great.
Yeah, great in friggin' The Truman Show.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about
that. He's been in a lot.
I mean, and that movie just had, and I saw him way about 2 weeks ago. You know, it's just fresh on my, and it holds up so well.
Yeah, it's not a crappy movie.
It's
at all.
Not, it holds up so well. It's not dated at all.
And again, like, I see Crispin Glover in American Gods, and I just say,
He's not flying. He's always not flying.
No, but you know what, dude? He's just a great actor. He is. He's done so many cool things. Yeah. I know the guy is a weirdo to begin with, and seems maybe like it's hard to deal with, but man, oh man, that guy did some iconic work
he's
in the
really
80s.
Good. Yeah,
And
he was really great working with Michael J. Fox. It's Michael J. Fox Apex.
Get your damn hands off her.
That movie's just pure fun.
It had to be fun filming that movie. I was thinking about how great it was. And like I said, I know he's a weirdo, but it was just a great.
That was awesome. I don't think anybody can say anything. I'm not saying it's a perfect movie, but. It's hard to pick at that movie, didn't it?
I've never heard anybody, not one of my friends ever say to me that you know what, that movie's not
for me. It's overrated or whatever.
What?
You know, it's just one of those movies that everybody just likes and enjoys, and it's just pure fun, which is why I had to rank that, even ahead of Raiders. Raiders, I mean, and that's
Leah Thompson's right in that movie, she's another 80s Rat Pack girl.
Big hair and all that stuff. Yeah. But I mean, that's the one to mention. Moving on to action, this is, again, the 80s was action, but, you know, Big Trouble in China for me, Highlander, Lethal Weapon, which was a great
Christopher Lambert, by the way, an iconic actor.
That's right.
Highlander. Sean Connery.
Very underrated one. Glad they're remaking that one. The original Batman.
Yes.
I put Alien. I'm not going to be science fiction, but I put Aliens.
Wait till they get a load of me.
Iconic role. Aliens was one of my all-time favorites.
Right.
And I almost had a number one. But, you know, you got to go Die Hard. Who are we kidding? I mean, Die Hard is the action movie of all time. Hans Gruber, one of the good all-time great villains. It made Bruce Willis a household name, and that movie holds up, and it's one of the best Christmas movies.
When that movie came out, that stupid show that he was on with Sybil Shepherd was still out.
Moonlighting, and
that movie came out, and it was his ticket to get off TV.
Oh, no, of course, he made him a huge star. He did a bunch of movies after. I mean, he became a movie star from that point forward. But that was his launching pad.
But he's a dude that's been in a lot of movies. I can pretty much count on one hand the amount of movies that I hate that he's done. And that's not too bad.
He's got a great resume. He's done a lot of crap, and make no mistake.
But movies that I absolutely hate.
I think he makes more for forgettable movies than bad movies.
Right.
If that makes sense. They're not bad, but just, whatever. Drama. A little bit of drama. You know, This is a weird category to judge, but Full Metal Jacket,
right.
Rocky I had, Raging Bull, which is ridiculous, First Blood, great movie.
You bought my wife.
Platoon, Wall Street, Field of Dreams.
Yes.
War Games, that drama, I don't know.
Yeah.
I couldn't cry.
I didn't like that movie.
I love Karate Kid. Drama.
I
put it in the drama category. I wasn't sure what that
wax
fits.
Wax on, wax off.
Come on, it's like a Paprika.
Arnold from Happy Days is in that movie.
Sweep the Leg, come on. Cobra Kai. Oh my God,
plays the heavy in that movie is a great actor. And,
I think he did a lot of those.
He's another that guy from that.
Yeah, a lot of cheesy action films. Yeah. There's a bunch of them. For me, I talk about
it. Was Van Patten's in that movie too? I think so.
I think that the Bonnier Kid was him. The iconic costume with the shower.
Right,
that was great. For me, the number one was Amadeus. I talked about it before. That's for me, my favorite drama of the 80s. Fantastic movie. I mean, it's hard to argue that.
The guy that played Mozart in that movie, by the way, is is an iconic actor who's done a lot of really cool little roles.
He's done small roles.
He's been in some really...
I remember him in Parenthood. I remember him in The Parent, which is a great movie.
No, he's kind of... to compare him to somebody now is like to like Ruffalo, I think, in my opinion, doing that same kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I think Ruffalo's a guy that does movies that he's not in a lot of real shitty movies, and he's always in movies that give him an opportunity to show work. His craft. Yeah. And I like that. And as much as I don't agree with him politically, I think that he's a
good actor. He does that. And he has a good range. He's underrated. But he doesn't do big movies. Well, Avengers notwithstanding. But aside from that, he does a lot of small movies.
You gotta feed the family.
You gotta eat. like you said, you gotta eat. And of course, you know, the comedy. We talked about it a little bit. I put, there's no particular order.
Right.
Princess Bride.
Awesome. I don't even know if that's a comedy. I think that's close to fantasy slash adventure.
I wasn't quite sure. But
I would put that in a fantasy.
But it's funny. It's a great memory. It's so great.
You're one of the people.
Emily's is great.
I got to do my Errol impression.
Emily's is fantastic. Breakfast Club, of course. Airplane, hello. Caddyshack.
Excuse me, I speak jive.
I speak jive. That's classic. Yes. Mrs. Cleaver, come on. Coming to America, I love.
Ever seen a grown man naked?
Was it my dog Scraps? Yeah. A Christmas Story.
Christmas Story, oh my gosh.
Hello.
Iconic.
Iconic, Beverly Hills Cop.
Is that a comedy though, too? I think that's more of a fantasy.
It could be family movie.
Fantasy holiday movie.
It's funny.
That's an all-time movie.
It's an all-time movie. I love it. Better it's called National Lampoon's classic. Ferris Bueller, Ghostbusters, Who Framed Roger Rabbit. It's comedy, I guess. Top Secret. I keep forgetting about Top Secret. If you've seen that one, it's in the same vein as Airplane. It was fantastic. It was great.
Val Kilmer.
It's great. Fast Times at Ridgemont High. How do you feel about that?
Bro, come on. I want to party with you, dude.
Spicoli, the pizza's fantastic.
Sean Penn, by the way.
Sean Penn was brilliant in that movie.
An incredible actor. Yeah. Is a crazy method acting nut, but the guy's really good at what he does.
He's great, and he's actually came up in the 80s. I put Police Academy. I don't know why. I always like Police Academy, but it's bad.
Falcon and the Snowman, by the way, is another movie that he did that was really good.
Yeah.
That's an 80s movie.
Yeah, he did that. I think Bad Boys. Not Bad Boys.
Bad Boys with Robert De Niro and him.
No.
We're No Angels. That's that one. Sorry.
Bad Boys is the one where he's a juvenile delinquent.
Yes.
Yeah, with
and Cops. Cops is also another one that...
Cops. Was that Cops? No, Colors.
Colors.
Colors, yeah. Colors. With Robert De Niro. Yeah. Spinal Tap.
Yes.
Of course, this Spinal Tap. Bull Durham. No, and that came to mind. Another great one. But it's so many great comedy. I could be listening for every year. And it was impossible to choose the best one. I couldn't. It's impossible. Three Amigos.
Actually, you can really put Spinal Tap up there with some of the most iconic comedy movies because of what they started. If you look, that mockumentary format has been used literally hundreds of times since this came out. It was the very first movie that did it. It had a billion comedians in it doing little roles. Billy Crystal, the girl that was on The Nanny, what was her name?
We didn't mention him. He's worthy of mention for the 80s. Right. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, absolutely.
What's her name? The lady from The Nanny. I can't remember her name. She's in that movie. Harry Shearer, Michael McKean. All those guys are like Christopher Guest, all like household names. Harry Shearer is an iconic voice on The Simpsons.
Yeah.
Michael McKean was Lenny from Lenny and Squiggy.
Had
SNL for a while. Yeah. Christopher Guest was on SNL. Yeah. Christopher Guest just said, this one goes to 11.
It goes back to the talent that he has had.
Right.
And then this
puppet show.
We talked about Caddyshack and the numerous names in there.
That's one of my all-timers.
Breakfast Club.
Who's
in there? Monty Ringwald.
That's not a comedy, though, dude.
It's comedy drama.
The writing in that movie is second to none. I haven't seen another movie that encapsulated the sociological dynamic of high school.
Yes, absolutely.
So much, even relevant to kids these days. Even though nobody brings their laptop to the.
It will hold up. They could remake that, toss in Facebook and some phones, and then there you go.
Right. I don't ever want to see them remake that.
I know. I mean, they can make movies in that vein, which they do. It's a coming of age story, I guess. worst comes to worst. But
Pope the Boy, yeah, the horns,
National Lampoons. Right. I mean, God, I mean, Chevy Chase.
Well, European Vacation is hilarious. European is
funny. Christmas Vacation. Yeah. Vacation. I like the Vegas. I thought Vegas one's great.
Now, the Vegas is one of those.
It's so foolish, bad. I love it.
It's a foolish pleasure.
Papa George. It's just such a good one. It's so bad. I can't help watching it. But what's that? What cousin? Who's Cousin Eddie?
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid. Awesome. Yeah. But it was Cop, like in classic. Yes. Most Eddie Murphy was great during that
time. Even Beverly Hills Cop.
I like Beverly Hills Cop too. I liked it a lot, and that's good.
Lethal Weapon 2.
Well, what's hard to do, actually? I think it was 90s. I don't remember now.
Yeah, but it's still, that's still a lot of comedy in those movies.
I think comedy thrived in that era. And you know, what we talked about last week, where the spoofs have gone the way of Dodo, but you had, you know, they had the Hot Shots.
Right.
Top Secrets, the airplanes, that kind of Naked Gun.
Hot Shots Part 2 is better than Part 1.
I agree. And those kind of movies, they thrive back then, which they just can't make that now. Loaded Weapon.
Loaded Weapon.
So bad with Samuel Jackson. Estevez. Charlie Sheen for a second. But that's just comedies are great. It was great.
You mentioned Leslie Nielsen. The movies that he did with O.J. Simpson were
the Naked Gun.
The
first two are great.
The Naked Gun series. Yeah. Actually, the third movie is hilarious. And he goes, it's Enrico Palazzo. You know, to me, that I don't know why that's so funny to me, but it's just hilarious.
Like the first half of the movie is great and it falls apart. But
no, there's a lot of movies like that.
But the first two Naked Guns were just hilarious. And then the stupid Spaceballs.
The tall guy in Naked Gun, the very first one where he goes, hey, you got some
money. This is always great. Priscilla Presley was in that. Beaver, you know. That's a great movie. I mean, I said the comedy live in the same sense that era. Right. 90s are the good ones. We'll touch space in a couple weeks, but not the same.
There were great comedies in the 70s and in the 80s. But not to that.
I'm curious when we do a 90s retrospective, look at what 90s, what comedies pop up.
I think you're going to see
about it now, but
there's a lot more fan service in the 90s. I think that's what we're going to see when we look at, if you go start, like, the ultimate fan service is in Star Wars stuff, right? I mean, there's probably nobody else does that. But if you look at the 90s, there's a lot of fan service that goes on. And I don't want to get into that too much because that's going to be next week.
But
in the 80s, there wasn't a lot of fan service. And in a way, that's why I think we see these comedies about how great they are. I mean, if you look at the 80s, the comedies that are there... Caddyshack, Vacation, Christmas Vacation, European Vacation, Meatballs. Meatballs, not so much.
It's okay. Stripes. Porky's, man. Was that 80s?
Porky's, yeah.
Porky's was hilarious.
Yeah, it was okay.
That was funny, man.
I saw that. I snuck. Sorry, Mom and Dad, I'm going to tell a story. I snuck out and I told my parents I was going to see a different movie, and I went to see that movie. True confession time right there. I think I was 15 or 16. I went and saw it with a guy named Mike Rogers, who's now a senator. So go to the Dickens.
I love Porky's. But yeah, I mean, there's a lot of comedy. Porky was like the American Pie of that era, basically. But there's a lot of good stuff in there. But we're in a late, long time here. But before we end off, we're going to leave off with the iconic images and scenes, of the, because there's tons of them. And I narrowed it down. I know I'm going to miss some here. But, you know, we got one.
As always, man, put your feedback on post your feedback on this. Because this is, to me, is...
Like, what did we miss? Yeah,
gets fun.
Who do you forget?
Except for his other stupid friends and feedback on everything. Those guys, if you ever want to, I'll give my address out on this podcast so you can come to my house and I can kick your ass.
The girlsnight.com studios.
Yes.
But like, we're starting with... obviously, Rocket came to mind with going up the steps with the name of the song that they played.
It's gonna fly now.
Yes. That's iconic. These are the scenes that get played in every montage, or the scenes that you see. You have to see the movie. You see the scenes like, oh, that's from Rocket. You don't even know. Even some of the lines is like, oh, I know. They've seen the movie or not. These are the scenes that they always play in the Oscars and whatever.
He's a monster.
Yeah, it's like, come on, that's a great scene. Raiders of the Lost Ark, the beginning, the ball rolling. Everybody knows that scene. And Terminator, it's I'll Be Back.
Yes.
Probably the best line of the 80s, the most recognizable line of the 80s. Whether you've seen the movie or not, you know what that is.
Right.
Shining, Here's Johnny.
Here's Johnny.
That's, come on.
Right.
The Crane Kick, Karate Kid.
Yeah, got to.
Everybody knows the Crane Kick. E.T., Flying to the Moon. There's one of those images that
yes.
it just you just know
on
exactly.
On
the bike, yes.
Yeah.
People with those friends. Everybody knows that. Risky Business.
Oh, yeah.
The sliding down with the underwear.
Yeah, the Bob Seger song.
Bob Seger, yeah.
Right,
just
right.
That people know that.
Old-time rock and roll.
Old-time rock and roll, exactly. Ferris Bueller, and that scene where he's in there. He's in the, on the float singing.
Right.
With Fame, when she's, you know, puts that, she's dancing.
Right.
The
no, that's
of,
not Fame.
Not Fame. I'm sorry, Flashdance. I'm sorry, Flashdance. The bucket
we
water.
We had the same meeting.
Yeah, I know.
We had the same discussion in the pre-production meeting. He's still dorking
it up. It didn't stick. Phoebe Cates. When she's, you know, the guy's, George Reinhold is, the car's,
moving stereos.
And she's about to take her top off and whatever. I mean, people love Baby Kate. Say Hello to Mother of Friend, of course, Scarface. Come on now.
Iconic.
Definitely iconic. Dirty Harry. And, you know, obviously,
Sudden
Impact. Do You Feel Lucky, Punk? Everyone knows that line.
Right.
What we talked about earlier was Say Anything.
Right.
With what's this guy's name?
In Your Eyes, the Peter Gabriel song.
Right. Playing it with the boombox. Who's the actor?
That's John Cusack.
John Cusack holding up the boombox.
Yes, John Cusack's another one of those names from the 80s.
That's another one we didn't mention.
Right.
He's been around.
He's still around.
He's still around. He does make some movies. But that scene, everyone knows he's standing there with the boombox.
With the trench coat on.
Yeah, yes, the trench coat. It is. If people know what it is. But those are the ones that kind of came to mind. Top Gun, Back to the Future with the car blazing through. It's those images that, you know exactly what that is. You might have never seen Back to the Future, but the car, the DeLorean, you just know what that is. Those are ones that I thought. I'm sure I missed a few.
Breakfast Club. There's a couple of them actually.
There's a great
scene. Opening the scene in the library.
The library with him pumping the fist at the end. It could be one, I guess, considered.
Iconic.
The get away from you, bitch.
Yes.
That's
get away from you, bitch.
People know that line.
Yes.
There's a bunch of them. Those are ones that just.
They actually in The Breakfast Club, and what made the movie so iconic, my opinion, is just the end where they're all going back to their cars and
the realization that
everything, nothing was changed and everything was going, everybody's going back to their friends and everybody's...
Yeah. They knew about each other, they knew it,
right.
But then it just
but it wasn't going to change.
Exactly.
And to me, that was the iconic scene in the movie. And that is, like, sociologists probably still talk about that stupid scene. And by stupid, I mean great.
No, I agree.
It's an amazing movie, and is a fence post or is a toll gate in any youth movie watching experience. And any kid that hasn't seen that movie, I recommend it highly.
Yeah.
It's a great movie.
Absolutely. So, well, and then that's a look at the 80s. A great era, great flicks. We'll probably do the 90s in 2 weeks. We're still going to do our take a break and do a Father's Day spectacular next week. We're excited about that. We'll get some guests on the show with us. We'll jump on the 90s after that. Very curious to see what 90s, what pops in my head as I'm doing the research and all that, because it's hard to think about it now. But real quick, wait for it to take off. We'll circle back real quick and talk about The Mummy. The numbers came out. It did 32 domestic. Not good. Not good.
But dude, look at international.
And actually did 140. So,
right.
so 174.
That's 170 right there, dude.
Oh, I know. And
it already paid for itself.
And the budget's 125. You're
right.
Looking at another 530 to 40. So we're looking at 160, 170.
Right. But it's...
And
it's,
then when you get a third of that cut.
Look, I'm not defending it. I'm just telling you that
it's lucky it's got worldwide. Because that movie, it's a bomb domestic. Just domestic, let's say. I figured...
Tom Cruise kills international.
He does. And
if you look at some of the stuff that he's done, it's all huge.
And I can't see that. There's no breakdown for it. I can't see where it made the most money.
You'll see China.
It's not giving it, so I don't know.
That's where I read it. I was on Deadline yesterday.
So
China did.
So that's probably what it is. But yeah, so that's kind of where... So yeah, just to circle back on that. But either way, so that's all the time we have this week. Thank you for listening.
We're not talking about American Gods after I went and watched 2 episodes last
week.
We'll
wait till next week to jump on that before.
that'll be
a Father's Day gift.
Okay.
We'll talk about that in honor of you. But that's all the time we got today. Mike, anything before we sign out?
No, I just want to say hey to all my peeps out there. Keep listening, keep enjoying, keep commenting. This has been a blast the last 5. This is episode 5, by the way, of V 2.0. Yes. And I think we're killing it right now. We're having a good time outside of Jose's phone going off and him coughing every 5 minutes.
I know,
minutes.
Right? Damn. Stupid
cough. But I want to say hey to everybody. GirlsLife.com, GIRLZOYFE.com. We're still there. We're still doing great. Stop in. Buy your stuff for Father's Day. Buy your early whatever summertime crap. Enjoy. What do you got, Jose?